finally hot enough to feel like an endless summer.
I guess.
You ever notice how that's all, the first game is always a broiler, even when the weather's nice leading up to it? Like, it was all in the 70s and cool last week. I was like, oh, finally football weather's here. Now we're going to...
I didn't like it last week. I was, like, scared. I'm like, I'm not ready for the 70s crap.
Was it the temperature or the outlook for Iowa football that had your anxiety level high?
Oh, you know, I'll tell you, I think, and I hope I'm not indicative of the fan base as a whole, but I haven't really been following football at all this offseason.
Yeah, it was a little post-traumatic stress disorder after that bowl game. We didn't even do a podcast after the bowl game.
No, we were still in shock. Speaking of podcasts, welcome to 12 Saturdays Season 4.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, we're like the Simpsons.
I'm James Bladel.
And I'm Tori Brecht.
And for those of you who are wondering, the podcast subscription will automatically bill to your iTunes payment method that's on file. So don't worry about that. I know you were concerned.
Well, you know, I've got that new car I got to pay for. So
it's just $99 a year and worth every penny. And it'll hit your credit card. You'll see that, I think, in your October statement.
Great. Now you just killed all our...
Everybody's like, delete.
Way to go, Joe.
Yeah.
It's free.
Should we say it always will be?
It's worth exactly what you pay for. You know,
it's free. You get what you pay for. It's worth it, too. It's free and it's worth it. It's been one of those weird off seasons where after the bowl game, I just kind of checked out.
Paid attention to the playoffs.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. That was fun.
A little Big Ten redemption.
A little,
our
but...
resident Big Ten SEC team.
From our semi-pro football team.
Right.
Yeah. Just generally there was all that drama with the quarterbacks and the position changes. I mean, like, I couldn't, here's a perfect example. I was reading on one of the boards the other day and I realized that for the first time in basically this entire season, I heard that Jake Doozy won't be playing for a couple of weeks. I'm like, when did that happen?
So you weren't aware that we brought in the 7th best recruiting class in the country, Jim?
No.
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
No.
In this, I thought you meant the 7th in the league.
No,
that
no.
I would have bought.
I don't even think it was that high.
No, it probably wasn't. It's probably like 12th.
Oh, so here we are, staring down the barrel of a season.
The cusp of another, well, it's like your podcast, your column said. It's like, you know, where do we go from here? It's an inflection.
I need to thank you, actually, for my column idea this week, because it was really... Yours was the first of several texts I got from hardcore fans saying that this is the least excited they've been to kick off a season in some time. And you know, I got to thinking about it. And, you know, I'm actually really excited about it just because I feel that the Iowa program interference is actually now reaching a tipping point, that we're going to have a point of inflection most likely this year. It's really and that's what I wrote about this week in my column. That,
it's a good
column. And there's going to be drama. You know, it could be good drama. It could be bad drama. It's
I'm
Iowa football.
Bad drama.
So you've got to expect a little bit of both along the way. You know, you've got a divided fan base that's going to be interpreting every little thing that happens. I mean, every drive basically is going to be giving ammo to one quote unquote side versus the other. I don't know. I kind of feed off of some of that stuff. I find it entertaining.
It's gonna be interesting to watch it play out. I have not been excited. It's Tuesday night, and so I'm starting to get kind of a little bit amped up for the season. I think we have an interesting, if not unique, opportunity to see the closest thing you're ever going to get in college football to a control experiment by taking Rudock out. From what would have been his last year of eligibility and moving him to Michigan and moving Beathard up, whatever side of that debate you were on last year, it's kind of irrelevant now. But I think that in some ways, and I think we were talking about this last year, is that this can only be a negative for Ferentz and maybe Greg Davis in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Rudock is awesome, well... They were idiots last year for not, it speaks to their coaching. They
right.
were holding him back. And if he sucks and stinks
Why
it up in Michigan, well, then they should have listened to the fans the whole time. So it's kind of a lose-lose for them.
Although I will say this, I think Rudock fits what Michigan needs, especially with Harbaugh's approach, a very, you know, big on the run game, big on control. He needs a game managing quarterback. Now, of course, you would like to have Andrew Luck like he had at Stanford, you know, all amazing. But I think especially as he's just getting started and changing the culture there, a guy that's been there, been through the trenches, you know, Ruddock has a long resume for a college, for a Big Ten quarterback. He's 14-11, not spectacular, but, you know, he's got a winning record. I think he had around a 68.
He's safe.
QBR. Yeah, he's safe. He's a game manager, and I think that that's going to work for them.
Well,
I think where, I think.
He's also not concussed. Well, so that's a plus.
I think one of the things I've heard people say that I agree with is that Beathard is a higher risk, higher reward kind of guy. Yeah. I think he has a higher ceiling. I think he's a better athlete. Plus, you have a whole extra year with him. So I think he's going to make you pull your hair out maybe a few more times than Ruddock would. But he's going to make some big plays that Ruddock wasn't going to.
Who does that remind you of, by the way?
Kind of the Ricky Stanzi, Ricky, Drew Tate kind of.
Yeah. Ricky was, you know, I mean, it got to the point where he threw, if he didn't, you know, a day without a pick six was a day without sunshine.
Exactly.
You know, but he was like that. He was high risk, high reward. Drew Tate was a little bit like, Banks was a little bit like that earlier on. I mean, you know, and I think with Iowa, with a team like Iowa, you have to roll the dice a little bit, and safe is not going to get you there.
One of the interesting theories I've heard bandied about, and it's kind of interesting, is that some folks say that, you know, with last year, both quarterbacks were kind of looking over their shoulder to see the other guy, right? So that limited maybe the amount of risk they'll take. And now, in some ways, Beathard has all the leverage, right? Because the guy behind him has never taken a snap in a college game. So if he does stuff that Ferentz or Davis doesn't like whips it downfield a 30-yard pass, what are they going to do? Take him out and put Uyghurs in?
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be interesting. I mean, I think you don't want to go down that road too much. You don't want to be a total maverick, but boy, you know, people can, here's another pet peeve of mine. This, like, now that Iowa has struggled and had a couple losing seasons, not even losing seasons, just not good enough winning seasons, is this notion that Iowa's offense and their brand of football is boring. You know, I watch a lot of football, and what they're trying to do is basically a lot like what everybody else is doing. They're just not doing it well, you know.
That's what makes it boring.
As much as people, I know, but it's not the it's not like the approach is boring. I mean, you know, if you hand the ball off on a stretch zone play and Sean Green busts through there and knocks a guy in his ass and gets 25 yards, that's not boring.
Well,
if it's a converted fullback who gets stood up in the line and knocked down, that's boring.
Yeah. Or tries to run to the edge.
So as much as everybody hates it, it's the E word.
Yeah, it is.
It's execution.
You know, for me, I think, first of all, the whole Beathard-Ruddock thing got a little tired last year. So I'm glad that's behind us.
By the way, Jim,
yeah,
we should probably tell the good folks what we're drinking tonight, because it's a little different.
We went over to the new microbrewery here in LeClaire, Green Tree Brewery, and picked up a growler of their IPA. Did you catch the name of it? It was Hopalong Cassidy.
Yeah.
That's what it was, Hopalong Cassidy. Yeah. That's pretty good.
It's decent. It's decent.
Yeah. I like their experimental better there at the Raspberry Heffa. That was good. And the mint chocolate coffee stout. No?
Yeah. That's too...
I wouldn't drink a whole glass of it, girly. but the sampler.
Right. But no, it's a nice place, and... you should go visit someday.
You should go because...
Beautiful view of the Mississippi River.
Decent nice. TVs, nice place. No food, but they will... you can deliver in from other places. Are we getting paid from them?
No, but not yet.
Well, we should ask
them
to pay
us. That's our local business plug.
If we're going to plug them. So, you know, so the Beathard-Ruddock thing is done. If CJ looks over his shoulder, he sees... Tyler, like, way, 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 way back there. So he's kind of got the keys. You know, but, you know, in that same vein, you know, my thinking all last year was, if you have two guys that are basically even and you can't really, you know, distinguish between one or the other, and one has pluses and the other has minus, but it's a wash, and one's a year younger, it's not even. Go with a younger guy. You know, I don't mean to, but this is college football. You only have 4 years with, you know.
Well, and every snap he takes, presumably he's going to continue to improve. Yeah. James Vandenberg. But
it's amazing how when Marvin McNutt graduated, his percentages went up.
Yeah.
But so Rudock aside, what's your big concern this year? It's got to be offensive line.
You know, I don't even, I think my concern is even more esoteric than that, really, is that I look at this team and I just don't see playmakers, like exciting players. And Ferentz actually said that during his press conference today. He said, you know, we may be a little short on superstars, but we've got a lot of, you know, really good football players. And it seems like Iowa, when they have the special seasons, I'm talking 9, 10, 11 wins,
mm-hmm.
you have a breakout guy. You got Sean Green. You got a Ricky Stanzi. You've got a DJK. You've got somebody that
Brad Banks, that Mo Brown,
grabs your eye and goes, damn, that guy mm-hmm. is a hell of a football player. Now, I also am a believer that every season tells its own story, and maybe a story emerges. Maybe LaShawn Daniels becomes Sean Green 2.0, maybe.
Possibly.
But sitting here...
Who was Sean Green before 2008?
Right. Yeah, he's a good story about the guy that moved furniture and got back, and right. maybe he'll be good. So, but sitting here on September 1st, who's your big breakout star?
You know...
Other than maybe CJ. Right? I mean, well, I guess that's what you got to hope.
You got to pin your hopes on
you got to get a, you know, Drew Tate kind of 2004 season.
Offense. I still have, and this was beginning like two or three games left last season, was just really on the Tevon Smith bandwagon.
Sure.
Because that guy, anything you put within like 10
he's
yards of that guy,
really he's nice,
really
player.
Great receiver. The problem is that we used to say that about crap teams. Like when Indiana yes. came, it's like, oh,
James Hardy.
They got this
amazing.
Really great receiver.
Yeah. Is that us now?
It would get
right?
two touches a game, and then yeah. So is that what we are now, where we've got a great receiver as a playmaker?
That's odd to think about. Well, and you know, I thought Jake Doozy had that some of that potential. I mean, you remember that great game he had against Ohio State?
Yeah. Where's he been since?
Well, he's injured right now. So,
I mean, where was he last year?
He had some nice plays last year.
Few.
But, yeah. But I don't. I guess so. For me, the concern is the lack of star power. Yeah. I guess. And I think that plays a role in the lack of excitement for people. To your point, people can get excited about individual performers sometimes, even when their team maybe isn't performing at the level they like, because they want to see that star yeah. do something. You know, you've got your headliner. I don't feel like Iowa football already has a headliner right now.
Well,
hopefully
I mean,
one emerges.
Maybe. And, you know, we used to, you know, we've always said that the, you know, the fate of a Ferentz program lives and dies by its offensive line. If that's true, we're in for a long season.
But, you
but
know
if
what?
That was true, we would have had a better season last
well,
year.
Well, and that's the sneaky little thing, is when you go back and start looking at numbers, I think the Ferentz teams live and die by having a stout defense.
Yeah.
And I think the defense this year has a chance to be better. The linebackers have to be better.
There's just, nowhere to just, go but up.
Yeah, basically. I think the defensive line's still going to be good, and it's one of the better secondaries. They've quietly
yeah.
just got some really solid cornerback
and
safety
play. You'd have to go back
play.
To, like, you'd have to go back to, like, the Amari Spivey mm-hmm. and the Micah Hyde.
Yeah,
era.
It's almost feeling like plug and play now.
Yeah.
In the defensive backfield. Yeah, so that feels good. So, you know.
And it seems like we've got at least, let's say, my sphincter won't be permanently clenched every time we try to kick the ball this year. I feel a little bit better about our place kicking
right.
situation, and even a little bit better about our punting than yeah. last year. I mean, it's not great, but it's
you think,
miles above last
year. You think Kane
year.
Is going to be doing the punting too?
I think that if he doesn't, he's getting enough pressure from. I'm sorry. I thought you were
Kane
saying
Kane is
kid.
The place kicker.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I mean, I think that between the two of them,
you think
I think
the competition is.
Is improving, just
elevating
you know,
the
rising yeah. tide is lifting both boats there, and I think the place kicking is done. And you know, he could be a good guy. I mean, he's what like, is he a junior or sophomore?
See, you asked me like factual questions.
I don't know. We'll look it up later and edit it.
When we've
that's
done,
the beauty of a podcast.
When we've done no prep work.
No.
And no.
Now
no,
we did
we
prep
did
work.
Talk.
We
about
went
it.
And got the beer. That's
we
prep.
We did. Actually, your wife kind of got the beer.
Well, you can't drive with an open growler. But no, I mean, so the place kicking is taken care of. The punting, you know, I'm actually more concerned about punt coverage than punting.
You know, this. You know how I know you're an Iowa fan? Yeah. You've just spent like 4 minutes dissecting the punting.
The punting,
game. Yeah,
punting. Is
you know what? Most fan bases don't talk about.
Don't ever talk about. No. They don't think about it.
No.
See,
they don't need to.
Ference has taught us to
He's
think about
brainwashed you. Absolutely.
He's conditioned us.
You know what? And that kind of bringing things somewhat full circle, I guess, is that's the other thing about this season is that it's either a redemption story for Ference, rebooting, getting things back on track. He's got the new facility. We've got some excitement in recruiting. We got more guys committed now earlier than ever before. Pretty nice players. Things coming together, and you hit that 8-9-10 win season, 8 being the minimum, and you're starting to feel good. You got a senior quarterback coming back. Iowa's back. Or things go bad, and I'm talking 6-6 or worse.
Yep.
And now you get a whole new kind of excitement, which is a coaching search, which is always great, you know.
Well,
who are they going to get?
Web traffic.
Well, absolutely, right? And, I mean, but just think about it. 17, 18 years now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that
it's
almost, it's almost will be only like the third coach in my lifetime as actually being a very aware Iowa fan.
I
didn't really start paying attention
to him
until Hayden.
I'm in my mid-40s.
Yeah.
And the law of averages says there's only two more Iowa coaches in my life.
Yeah, the way that they typically
right?
do it, right?
So, and the next one's probably going to be younger than I am.
But you got to think with a new coach, I mean, obviously they're not going to change the school colors or anything like that, but everything could change, you know, the whole atmosphere, the whole culture. And, you know, as we talked last year about some of the staleness of even the game day, how it's put together and just everything kind of started to feel a little, I keep using the Groundhog Day movie because it's one of my all-time favorite movies, but it's, you know, that feel.
Did you know that Buddhists study that movie?
Yes. It's a brilliant movie.
It is. It's underrated.
Highly underrated.
So, I agree with you.
But that would be exciting.
It would be exciting
as much
either
as
way.
I like.
So then the worst case scenario, and I think you articulated this in your column, the worst case scenario is 7-5.
Yeah.
Middle of the road, lose, you know, no trophy.
7-5 is the one number I feel like.
Going to a middle of the road bowl game, get embarrassed on national television, basically
Groundhog
a repeat of last year.
It's Groundhog Day.
Yeah. That's the only
7-5
bad
is the
outcome.
One thing you cannot do.
Right.
Now, I've seen some people speculate that they think Ference would be back at 6-6, but I can't see that.
No.
There's too much money at stake.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, first of all, you've
this
got declining tickets
now. This is a billion-dollar-a-year enterprise.
And then think about also how poorly we did in bowl attendance last year, and that's been one of Iowa's calling cards. We get bumped up to higher bowls, which brings in more money for the school and more money for the whole conference because we travel so well. You don't want to put down 2 years in a row of, you know, 10,000 or fewer people traveling. All of a sudden, you're freaking Illinois or Purdue or Indiana or something. I mean,
come on. And that's the thing, too. We talk about, you know, it was starting last year and a little bit this year is, well, we don't want to change coaches. We don't want to be like Illinois or Northwestern or, you know, or Illinois or Indiana or Purdue.
And that's been my argument, but I think I'm coming
we're
around
kind
more to
of
your
there.
Way.
We're
kind then I wrote this line in my column this week. We talk a lot about we can't keep losing to teams that we should beat. Well, at some point, when you've lost to teams that you quote-unquote should beat often enough, you shouldn't have beat them. Ferentz has a losing record against Iowa State.
Yeah.
Can you actually sit and say he should beat Iowa State? Do you feel
Let's back up a second. You said worst-case scenario, 7-5. Because
worst because not going to get a decision point necessarily.
No,
that makes
me,
it real hard to decide.
I'll even go a little bit bolder. The Iowa State game for me this year is a pass-fail on Ferentz. And I'm putting that out there because if you lose to Iowa State in Ames this year, I don't think he survives the season.
Okay, but remember,
even at 8-4,
eight and four would be troublesome. But
with
remember,
a loss,
11-1.
I don't care.
One year
the,
with the
history,
one loss to Iowa
the
State.
The history means
not 11-1.
Right,
not 11-1.
That's what it would take to overcome that loss. I mean, you know,
how about 10-2 and a loss
no,
at Wisconsin?
See, I'm feeling that you lose. You start look. These are some. Nobody loses to Iowa State except us and Kansas. Okay, and did you know that Kansas is having like they're in meltdown mode over there, and you know they're still going to get beat by Iowa State and us. So, you know, at a certain point, Tori, and we were talking about how. The difference between a decent team, a good team, an average team, and a great team, or even above average, is that you beat the hell out of the bottom of your schedule consistently. year after sure. year, day after day. And Ferentz has struggled with Northwestern, struggles with MAC schools, directional Michigan schools, and Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
You clean that up, and then you've got a coach that's somewhere above, you know, 700.
Right. More like a Frank Beamer.
Yeah. It's a right. completely different narrative. Well, you narrative.
Know, the only caveat I would say to that is that Iowa State being a true rivalry, that weird things can and do happen in those games. It should be.
It's not weird anymore.
Well, it should. Well, now it is weird because it's way too much for how poor of a team they've been. I mean, it's what I'm getting at is I don't think you have a 1,000, you know, a 100% success rate against them. But you got to be at like 700, right? Even in a rivalry game when you're the better program.
More than 800. Or you're not the better program anymore. Not over the course of a couple of decades.
It's up in that 700-800 range, I think. You win 7 to 8 times out of 10 against your lesser
and who,
rival.
And who did they beat last year? Us and you and I?
No, they actually... But they had like another weird upset against somebody. Was it Texas or somebody? I can't remember.
I'm just...
Or Oklahoma State? Or was that
the
year before?
You know, I'm sensitive to that.
Well, of course. We all are.
Well, it's this idea that you know, there are some games that you should be circling, if not as a rival, you know, at least as something that you know, and they're just a little too tense.
Well, and here's the other kind of weird negative when you kind of get to the level we are, which is okay, not terrible, not good,
mm-hmm.
is that you then become, and we've talked about this before, you become kind of the benchmark team. You're a winnable game, a quote-unquote winnable game for some of the teams that maybe they're like, well, you know, maybe we don't have a great program this year, but what if we could rise up and if we play really well, we could knock off Iowa. And they're a good program.
I'm going to call this Happy Gilmore Syndrome.
Okay.
Do you remember Happy Gilmore?
I remember.
No, sorry. Not Happy Gilmore. The Waterboy.
The Waterboy. Okay.
Waterboy Syndrome, which is that, you know, they didn't have the turning point. Until they beat Iowa.
Right.
And so at some point, you just have to be...
Yeah, it was in their bowl game, right?
It was the game that they had to win to get... When Adam Sandler did his dumbass, you know, thing, and his character came out and became violent, and it was hilarious. But he did that against Iowa. And I think the point is that at some point, you have to realize your whole role is to be good enough to be the antagonist in everybody else's Cinderella story.
But not the program that's untouchable. Like,
no.
You're not, oh, it's not like...
No, but it has to be
nobody
meaningful.
Nobody would believe you beat Ohio State.
When you win...
Yes.
When you win, it has to be meaningful.
Right.
You can't be a doormat, but you can't be this juggernaut either. You have to be the notch in the belt
right.
that someone makes.
And
on,
I think that makes
way.
Your job harder. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Northwestern and Minnesota coaches have both said that they... tried to build up their program based kind of on how Iowa did it. And, you know, that you got to keep pushing. And I think that's where we get so frustrated with Ferentz is that it kind of felt like whatever he was doing to upset the paradigm of who's powerful and who's not got lost along the way.
Did you feel that way about Hayden circa 93, 94?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
97 was a good year, but...
Yeah. Yeah, but the problem, though, is that you then get those years that they become more of the anomaly. And, I mean, I don't think anybody is unreasonable enough to expect Ferentz to keep churning out top 10 teams year after year. You know, I mean, they have three years in a row. But to not – and then that's the other weird thing. It's like, say, to not even be in the Big Ten championship picture, but we were in the Big Ten championship picture all the way up through the Wisconsin and Nebraska games and didn't even get blown out in either one of those. So it's just so frustrating and I think to your point, it's if that was all that was the problem, I think we'd all feel a lot better. But it's that combined with the inexplicable losses to quote unquote worse teams that's a toxic combination when you got both those going on.
Yeah, and we haven't had we haven't made an appearance in the Big Ten championship game since its inception.
We probably haven't, a good thing last year based on what happened to Wisconsin.
Yeah. You know, it kind of sets up this, do you believe, that, you know, we just made a comparison there between like the sunset years of Hayden Fry and where Ference maybe is now. Maybe he's got one more run left in him, whatever you want to say.
Well, he's younger than Fry, and as far as we know, I don't think he's had any of the health issues that kind of bedeviled Fry towards the end there.
But
as
I don't think that youth or health really is a factor as so much as just like you were saying, complacency mm-hmm. or familiarity, where you're no longer the disruptor, you are the dean, and everyone is reacting to you as opposed to what you're doing.
Yeah, and I would say be careful with those adjectives, because I think one is accurate and one's not. I don't think Ference is complacent. I don't. I think he has the drive, the desire, the wish, but I do think that he got overly comfortable.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between the two. Complacent is kind of like, you know, I'm good. I got it. We got it figured out. I think he still has the fire and the passion. I just feel like, you know, it's hard once you've had success using a certain formula to realize you have to keep pushing yourself and keep changing the
comfort
goals.
Zone.
Yeah. Getting out of your comfort zone, yeah. Having, you know, to use corporate buzz speak, a, stretch goal.
Sorry, that's all I know how to speak.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, what's the stretch goal?
The stretch goal, 9-3.
Feel out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Basically. Right? And I think we're maybe seeing baby steps of that. You know, going to get the blackout uniforms this year. Change the practice schedule.
It sounds like a lot of this we have to thank Bryant.
A little more tweeting and whatnot going
yeah,
on out
the,
there.
The social media, the...
Their video game has really been stepped up. Their preseason hype videos and stuff. So
looks a little bit better. They've got the Django soundtrack going.
Yeah.
So
a little.
That's all Brian.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
You know, he's trying to position himself as Bielema's offensive coordinator. I think. Well, let's look around the league.
Okay.
So we've beaten that to death. Actually, we've been beating that to death for the last.
Yeah.
It's
boring
yeah,
to talk about.
Yeah. Listens to us anymore.
Tell me I'm not out of my mind that Ohio State being this good is boring, though. I mean, it's just boring.
If you were in the East Division.
No, I just think it's bad.
Who's going to be the sacrificial lamb to... I mean, is it Wisconsin? I don't know.
See, and that's the other little weird thing about this season, is that despite all the myriad problems the Iowa program has right now, it feels like they're not that far away from being a contender in the West Division.
Yeah.
I mean, Wisconsin and Nebraska both have new coaches.
I actually put my money on Minnesota this year.
But does anybody believe, though, that Minnesota can sustain success?
Yes.
You do?
Jerry Kill, I think he's the real deal.
Maybe.
I want to hate the guy.
Oh, I don't hate him. I respect the heck out of him.
Yeah.
But to me, he just feels kind of like another Ference type. I mean, the whole West is kind of that guy now. They've got
Riley
in Nebraska.
Yeah.
That's kind of the
West
Coast version.
Oh, that
of
is going to be Ference. Hilarious to watch this year.
But you got a bunch of guys that are like, we're going to control the clock and we're going to run the ball. And we're going to be physical and.
Now,
blah,
you,
and
missed the, you missed the Nebraska game last year.
No, well, I watched it.
No, but I mean, you weren't.
I wasn't there.
And what was hilarious was it was what was it? I was going to finish. 7-4
if they'd have won.
7-5, and Nebraska was going to finish 8-4 or 9-3. One of these teams is going to fire their coach on Monday.
Right,
and they did. They bounced Pelini. You know,
after winning
that game,
which they should have lost. But
well,
if we could cover a punt, we'd have won.
Yeah, we covered two punts. You only had to cover one.
You only had to cover
one of
one of
the two punts.
Exactly.
And you would have, yeah. So, that, and you know what the worst part of that game was? Is that it had rained and snowed a little bit
mm-hmm.
previously, and then it had melted. And our new seats, I don't know, there's a drainage problem or something over there. And so there was actually like a 4.5-inch sheet of ice. Mm. That we were sitting and standing on the entire game. So, I mean, it was cold, okay,
right.
But it was not like unreasonably football November cold, except when you're standing on a freaking ice cube. Oh, that's
well, I was in Florida, so
yeah,
I was not having those issues. But.
What do you think of Nebraska? I think they're, I mean, does Wisconsin, do they kind of, are they reeling right now? Are they?
I don't think they're reeling. I think they're searching
is there
for an identity
a little
bit.
Is there going
bit,
to be
right?
a discontinuity?
Well, I think for Wisconsin, losing Melvin Gordon is going to be a bigger deal than losing their coach. Yeah. I mean, that guy carried that team. I mean, he was all world. And that's the other crazy thing. When you think about the whims of recruiting, if Melvin Gordon had kept his Iowa commitment and it was him in the backfield instead of Weissman,
yeah.
I think Iowa is a much better team last year.
And if Pierce
Spocker
had kept his commitment, we wouldn't be worried about Ike Bottinger.
I think, you know, football is usually such a huge team game, and it's we've talked about how you build and you have the whole program and all the infrastructure around it. But an unearthly talent like Gordon, though, especially at a position in running back for those two programs, Iowa and Wisconsin, is everything.
Oh, yeah, everything.
You know, you switch those that player and maybe on those two programs, and I think you reverse basically their outcomes last year, don't you?
No.
Who would you rather have as quarterback, Ruduck, CJ, or that Stavi guy from Wisconsin?
Push.
Bullshit. Come on. He's terrible.
Stavi?
Yes.
But with Gordon versus Weissman?
Well, that's no brainer there.
Did you get upset watching Kanzeri in the bowl game, thinking, you know, that he maybe should have had a little bit more carries during the season? He looked pretty good. He looked like the only one that showed up for that game.
I didn't think anybody looked at him.
Yeah, he had over 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns.
I don't know. I basically just blocked out that whole game. I mean, I didn't even really watch it that closely.
We came here and we got pretty drunk the second quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know. I don't know. Kanzeri is an interesting guy just from the standpoint that it never feels like he gets any consistency. Like, he'll have a good game and then he'll get injured or then he'll.
Daniels is the one that struggles with consistency. Kanzeri struggles with injury. If we can keep Kanzeri healthy and Daniels consistent, you know, maybe we've got a nice 1-2 punch.
We shall see.
Yeah.
We shall see. But, you know, here's the...
Is anybody else...
Not to be paranoid,
yeah.
But, you know, everybody's talking about, well, Iowa's running game is going to be better this year because they're going to have two actual running backs playing. And I know that there were some bumps and injuries and bruises along the way, but those guys were all on the team last year, too, and they still ran Weissman every time. Yeah. So, I mean...
Well, how much of that was just, you know, loyalty is sticking with what works?
Did it, though?
Well, in 14, or in 13, it did. Who else in the West? I mean, Northwestern's in a tailspin.
Tailspin, or I think they're kind of similar to Iowa, though, that they've just, they've been injury pretty badly. And then last year they had, I think, a lot of distraction from that whole unionization weirdness. But yeah, they've back-to-back 5-7 seasons, so, you know, they're kind of.
At some point, does Pat Effin Fitzgerald find a hot seat? Because
no, not that
guy
program.
Though. I mean, come on.
No,
I want to strangle that guy.
Well, yeah, I know you can't stand him, but I mean, 5 wins is not that bad. Northwestern historically.
And who else? I mean, Illinois.
That's a dumpster fire.
They fired
their coach 8 days before the season.
That is insane.
You know, it was funny. One of the threads on Hawkeye Report this week was talking about somebody who's all outraged because, you know, I watched the BTN live West Division thing and they didn't even talk about Iowa. Like, what is it to talk about? I mean, we're not bad enough to be interesting. We're not good enough to be interesting. We're just not interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, well, Kirk Ferentz is going to roll another team out there that's going to have some really dumb losses and win about 6 or 7 games and go to... And that's
six
what everybody
games.
Thinks. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And so...
Set your watch by.
You know, Illinois got a dumpster fire, fired their coach 8 days before it. Wisconsin's got a new coach. You know, Nebraska's got a new coach, Jerry Kill. You know, he could fall down and have an epileptic seizure at any moment.
Oh, come on. Plus, now, we promised we wouldn't joke about
plus,
epilepsy.
You know, is Minnesota going to sustain? You know, every other team has a compelling, interesting storyline, be
There's
it
no
a good one or a
Iowa.
Bad one. What is Iowa's narrative? Well, looks like they're going to be kind of average again.
Oh, we'll see.
What? There's nothing there. What do you talk about?
And then our crossovers are Indiana and...
Maryland coming.
Maryland. I actually... You want to talk about dumpster fire part duh, is Maryland probably.
Well, I went to the game out there, and it was kind of it was an okay experience. Kind of a neat little stadium. It's like right in the center of their campus on a hill, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd be basically kind of like if there was a stadium like behind the Pentacrest in Iowa City. It's kind of crazy. Fans are okay, but, you know.
Did they serve crab cakes at the stadium?
Well, I didn't see any.
I would like crab.
But anyway, what I was getting at is that was a game that felt like Iowa jumped on them, and it was like, okay, this is fun, and it felt like they should win, and then everything just got ugly and boring.
But all those folks who actually...
So we need to beat them. I
you know,
really
all the guys who made those plays are gone.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they're just devastated from either.
And that's fine by me because their fan base is kind of that East Coast smug. And it's kind of funny because that's literally the lamest, quote-unquote, college town in the Big Ten. I mean, have you been to College Park?
Not for
football. Well, you've been to the D.C. suburbs, right? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there's an IKEA and a Buffalo Wild Wings and, oh, a college campus. And, I mean, the campus looks very nice, but there's no character. There's no – it's not a Big Ten school.
And then Indiana, I don't know. Are they on the Purdue? Between the two, I mean, I forget.
Those teams Purdue. From Indiana.
I don't really. Well, there was an interesting, interesting projection. Was it in?
Well, here's the weird thing. I mean, Iowa could conceivably win 10 or 11 games against a schedule and still not have anybody really talking about them.
This is what we were saying
last
year.
That's what's so weird about
that
schedule.
Is that we could come out. We could come out, and at some point last year, I was saying we could be like 6-0, and still suck.
Yeah. Well, not suck. You could be very average.
But you could be the schedules this year and last year set you up to be a paper tiger.
Yes, absolutely. Which is another real kind of that's again why I set that bar at 8 wins or better. You can't win 7 against this schedule and call it a successful season. You just cannot. Because I mean, unless a couple of these teams really surprise and outperform, but I just don't see it. Yeah. I mean, arguably, the only two games you could win that would be a big deal would be Wisconsin and Nebraska, right? I mean, even if you beat a Minnesota or a Pittsburgh, is anybody going to, like, stop the presses and put you on SportsCenter?
No. So let's take a look at the schedule, the way it's shaping up, and we were hinting at that a little earlier. You know, setting aside the conference, what do you think of the non-conference? And I already said Iowa State is a pass-fail for me.
Sure. It's an interesting non-conference slate because it's, at first glance, highly manageable, bordering on easy. But when you start digging into it from the perspective of who those teams are, what their motivations are, and how Iowa has dealt with those kinds of issues, I think it's tricky. I think it's tricky.
Every game's a trap.
To an extent, right. And I think this starts with this week's opponent, Illinois State, Redbirds. FCS school, Iowa's 12-0 all-time against them. But they're ranked 2 in FCS. And we've seen Iowa struggle with UNI being a team that...
But those guys, I mean, don't they kind of play outside their minds a little bit when they come down to Iowa City?
I think they probably do because they've got a lot of friends and family. A lot of them maybe even grew up as Hawkeye fans or wanted to be recruited by Iowa.
Right.
Illinois State, though, I think has some motivation, too. They're not that far from here. They have quite a few former Big Ten players, including one Iowa ex-commit and one Iowa starting linebacker who started 7 games last year.
And they got that Trey Roberson, too, from Indiana, who just, was it a couple years ago? A
couple years ago. He did had a nice game. He had, like, 80-some yards rushing and, like, 180-something passing.
Yeah.
One touchdown, one interception, I think, so... Definitely capable.
Yeah.
You know, but a team that Iowa, a decent to good Iowa team should handle. Maybe not with ease, but should wear down and defeat. So I'm actually pretty confident. I've been thinking about it a little bit. You know what gave me some confidence is, you know, North Dakota State's kind of the 800-pound gorilla juggernaut from that division.
Yeah,
beat Minnesota last year, beat Minnesota 2 years ago, beat Iowa State handily last year. But they already played this year, went out to Montana, and got beat, you know. And they're
upset,
supposedly,
though.
I don't know if it was
like
upset
a 3
or not, because I think they were an FCS team and Montana's a FBS team.
No, but it was close. I mean, they didn't get to
like
3 points.
But, you know, they're supposedly the amazing number one, 2-time defending champion juggernaut that's even better than Illinois State, and they got beat by Montana.
Yeah. All right.
Okay,
well,
so that's making me feel a little better. So,
but you know, Ference, these teams, and this is part of my argument, I think, in one of the threads, is that the way to get these teams down is to come out fast and to come out early and score, you know, get them a couple of scores behind so that they start to get demoralized and just want to play and have the experience. If you let them hang around to the third, fourth, and middle of the fourth quarter, one score down.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why another reason the non-con is so interesting to me, Jim, because I think – what I am anxious to see is whether it sheds any light on if Ference is feeling a hot seat. Is he going to, because I, you know, I've been a long believer that he kind of treats the non-conference as kind of like a preseason from his NFL background. And I'll try some things out, try to get that running game going, try to get this, tweak things. I haven't ever really felt like he's ever come out and tried to just massacre somebody. Like, and you've seen him do that at other times in the Big Ten season in other games where it's just like he's had some, like, you know. And that, to me, is like, what I want to see, what I need to see to have more confidence, is a team on a mission for their coach and for their program.
Yeah.
And if we see that, I'm going to start having a little optimism. Yeah, we don't see that, if it looks like the last three or four seasons, boy, it's going to be tough to be optimistic.
For me, the goal is, and you know, this has only happened like I think two, maybe three times in Ferentz's history, is to get out of the non-conference undefeated.
Yeah.
Which is totally doable with this schedule.
Right.
You know, you beat Illinois State, you roll Iowa State somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pile on to Pitt and North Texas. And then, wow, that really sets you up so that you're only two games away in your conference.
Do you feel in your gut that that's going to happen?
No. And this is the problem. It's like, but you were saying what you need to see. You show me that, and I'm like, okay, this is a different epoch in the Ferentz era.
We always kind of do our score prediction for each week's game. So let's kind of figure out that, and then let's go back to that thought about what we need to see to call this a season a success and what we expect to see. We'll put ourselves on record with predictions. Season, big picture.
So where are we starting? We're starting with Illinois
State?
Start
with Illinois State.
All right, so you go first.
You know, I saw all the Big Ten Network folks, all of them picked it within a one score game. I've made a conscious decision to be optimistic until proven that I shouldn't. So I'm going to say that Iowa pulls away late and wins something along the lines of, 31-17.
Damn. That was what kind of where I was going. You took my numbers. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the same boat. If you can't be optimistic for week one,
why are you a fan?
Yeah, sell your tickets. I mean, StubHub.com will take your money.
Right.
You know, you got to be optimistic for the first one. I see a lot of folks calling this a 3-point game or even a 7-point game. You know, I would love to see us load up by two scores. Let's get Tyler some snaps. You know, let's get some more folks on the field. It's going to be warm. Let's get out of there and watch the second half in some air conditioning with some refreshments, or second half of the fourth quarter, whatever. So I was going to say something along those lines, but now I guess I have to say something like 35-14,
okay.
A couple of scores, and that 14, it's 35-7 going into the fourth quarter.
Nice.
Okay, like one of those would be really, really nice.
That'd be a great way to kick off the year, wouldn't it?
It would. Now, pivoting from that, so both of us are calling it a win in week one. Where do we go from there?
Well, let's talk first about what we need to see to have confidence in our dear leader, Captain Ferentz, and the
continuing. Do you have to call him that? I mean, that's what the North Koreans say. Come on.
I'm just saying. So, you know, that's the good start. I would say for me, again, the bottom line for me is a minimum of 8 wins, of 8-4. I need to see that. And the caveat also is 2 of the four traveling trophies back in there. I'm not as, oh my God, Iowa State as you are, because the game is in Ames. It's a rivalry game. It would suck to have it lose, but I'm getting numb to it now, I guess, or something. I don't know. But if they can hit at minimum 8 wins, put 2 trophies back into the case, then load up with a senior quarterback and a nice recruiting class moving forward, I'm going to be back pretty solidly on the bandwagon.
Okay.
That's mine.
So 8-4.
Minimum.
With 2 trophies, interchangeable, don't care which trophy.
Yeah. Floyd, the Bull,
the monstrosity
thing with Iowa State is.
And what and do then we, the other
we
thing.
Play for like a, what do we play Nebraska
a hero.
For?
Superman.
A hero? Okay.
One of the Avengers. All right. So, for me, I've kind of set the bar a little higher, not surprising, because I think with this schedule, you really don't get to pat yourself on the back too hard with 8-4.
I'm with you on that. That's why I'm saying it's ceiling for me.
Yeah,
base floor.
So, for me, to be back on the bandwagon, it's going to have to be 9-3.
Okay.
For starters. You got to beat Iowa State. Sorry, that cannot be one of your three. So of your three, they're going to have to be basically maybe Pitt and two conference games or all conference opponents. And if they're all conference opponents, the only acceptable losses to me are Minnesota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin.
Okay.
Now, I don't want that to be the case. But
now, if one gets in true Iowa fashion, what if there's like you somehow blow a gasket and CJ gets injured and you lose to Purdue, but then he makes a miraculous recovery and leads him to a victory over Nebraska?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's 9-3. That's trade those doable. Out. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But generally speaking, the overall record has to be 9-3 with a win over Iowa State and one other trophy game.
Okay. So you're on the two-trophy bandwagon,
too. I'm on the two-trophy bandwagon.
One of them has to be that
has
ugly...
has to be that stupid Hy-Vee thing.
Corn stalk thing.
Iowa corn.
I never thought I'd miss the Cy-Hawk, but it was, like, almost so dumb-looking and ugly that it was starting to grow on
me. You know, guys fight over... Teams fight over axes and buckets and broken chairs. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, the bottom line is, you know, now let's pivot for that. What do I think is going to happen?
Right. What is your prediction?
I think we're going to go 8-4. Okay. Does that make me an optimist? Fine. Mm. So be it.
Charmin soft schedule, dude.
It is a cushy schedule. I think we're going to beat, Iowa State. I think we're going to beat, I think we're going to lose one of our other non-conference, possibly Pitt.
Yeah.
You know? And I think we're going to drop to Minnesota. I think we're going to have one of those trophy games.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, we're going to fall short of my bandwagon bar. And although a lot of folks will say, okay, we're on an upswing. This is a good season. Definitely better than 2014. For me, it is going to be a, you know, what's the buyout now in January? You know, I'm going to start asking those questions. And it's not because I'm this, you know, doom and gloom person, but because I think the bar is a little higher with this schedule.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We're really similar because my prediction, official prediction, is actually also 8-4. I also think that they beat Iowa State. I think that Ferentz has heard enough about that and his players for that matter. So, yeah, I'm almost identical with you. I think the only big difference is that, for me, that is enough to at least have me 1 foot back on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Not 100%, because, like I said, that was my floor. I think that is a unfireable record.
Yeah.
I really do. And I think especially when you start looking at what will be coming back and the new facilities and the direction. I think that will make me feel that we've taken a baby step back towards being the kind of program we want and deserve.
Okay, so two thoughts
baby
on that.
Step.
Two reactions to that. First is, I felt that way in 2014, didn't happen.
I felt that way even after 2013.
After 2013.
I did too.
Yeah.
And then last year was a big step back.
It was. And you know, we kind of believe that Ferentz teams kind of, it ebbs and flows.
Ebbs and flows. That's football, Jim.
But it... It ebbed when it should have flowed, man. but you know, the second bit about that and something to think about is that I think that the schedule gets a little tougher in 2016.
You know what, though? I'm looking forward to that.
But the other part of this is, Tori, you know that coming out of that with 8-4 and two trophies and a win against Iowa State, now they're going to start talking extension. For Ferentz. They're not going to talk about keeping him.
Well,
they're going to say, you're under 3 years. How can I recruit with this contract? And that's where I'm like, whoa, hold the phone. Are we talking extension for real?
I think you look at a one-year thing, though. I mean, I don't even want to – I hope we have to have that discussion. Let's put it that way. You know, I really do. Because, you know, you have to be able to recruit. And, you know, and then I think you start asking questions about how long Ferentz – wants to keep doing this, and does he have a succession plan? You know, I think that those start to
it
become.
It is. It's Greg Davis,
and it's a more. Oh my God! No,
my successor is older and worse than me.
But in all seriousness, though, I think that at least you, and that's the other reason why I actually am looking forward to the schedule getting tougher. A, it gives you a better measuring stick, and B, it's more fun to go to. Like, you know.
And C, get a higher resale value for your tickets if you can't make the game.
But I would rather see Iowa lose a hard-fought game against Ohio State than squeak by, you know, frickin', you know, Illinois.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just – that doesn't do anything for me, you know? I don't know. So I think we're weirdly aligned.
We're
so
weirdly
far.
Aligned in our. It's funny how the exact same record and outcome at the end of this season will make one of us happy and piss the other one off.
I think we're closer than that. I you mean, so? 8-4 is not going to make me happy.
No,
it's going to make me feel somewhat relieved. It's going to make me feel like, okay, the bleeding has stopped. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. Okay. We've triaged this patient, and we've got him stable now. Now we can start the healing.
But
does that make sense?
It does, but I've said this. I've been down this path. You know?
Well, but keep in mind also, though, that as disappointing and sickening as the end of last season was, and as disgusting as the loss to Iowa State was, there were some little good pieces. There were areas where going from 8-4 to 7-5 in the regular season was definitely a step back last year, but it wasn't like a crater. It wasn't a crater. It was just very, very frustrating and hard because you're like, shit, man, we just started getting back, and now you're So, but, you know, that's why I feel
if you can make the difference for me,
and get out of that and start getting back.
For me, what's going to make the difference is, do we really jump on this alternative uniform? Do we really revamp the game day experience? Does we really make it fun again?
I'd like to see
that. Do they really kind of take this to heart?
Yes.
Because that to me is like, it's not the meal, it's not the side dish, but it's like the seasoning.
Yeah. Make people stop talking about your program being boring and having no narrative.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I want to see some of that. I want to see some more dynamism this year too.
And beat Iowa State, and it's a little more fun to get to a game every Saturday.
That's some baby stuff.
Yeah. You know, I'll chuck it up.
I think we're a lot closer than you think we are.
And, you know, they got to improve something. They got to do something with the cell phone coverage, too. I heard a tower was going up. They always have these ads, you know, tweet this and send an email to that. And it's like, well, that would be nice.
Anyway, you know, it'll be nice to be back in Iowa City and see all the new buildings and whatnot. I mean, the new dorm is open, I guess. And that hospital-y thing's got to be...
Well, you know, I rode by it for RAGBRAI, and, you know, it was clear that somebody at the university in the Iowa City Chamber of Commerce designed that RAGBRAI route, because it just wound through all of those buildings and all those, it was really great, even in July, to ride around the different buildings, right around Kinnick, right around Carver, you know, the hospital, and through the dorms, and it just made me kind of ache to be back in Iowa City.
No, that's good. And we will be.
In a couple of days.
All
right. Well, I hope that you, our dozens and dozens of listeners, are as excited to get back to
You need to be excited. This is a big year. It's a turning point year.
It's a year. Either we're going to bottom out or we're going to go through the basement.
If you're feeling, if you're feeling kind of apathetic, just snap out of it. Because one way or the other, I think we're going to get a lot of answers this year.
Yeah.
Unless we go seven and five, then burn it all down.
Then exactly. Then burn it down and sow salt in the fields so nothing will grow here again. All right. Well, should we end it here?
I think so.
All right. And what, you know, what are we thinking for this year's podcast? We got like a couple minutes here. Are we thinking we're going to have guests? Are we going
to? Yeah, we'll have to have some surprises along the way.
We're
going
to have to throw some curveballs here. I think we had some ideas. If you have ideas, you know, go to bulliesofthebig10.com like an old school person, or you can just tweet at 12 Saturdays. That's 12 Saturdays. Send us a message of something you'd like to see. If you want to be a guest, well, you better be, you know, interesting and special, funnier than us.
I believe have a Facebook page. Does anybody ever look at it or maintain it or anything?
I went there once. I liked it, but.
So you can try to find us there too. We may or may not answer.
Facebook,
Twitter's probably going to be your best bet.
Twitter is
at 12 Saturdays.
You know what's funny is after outside the football season, I rarely just don't go to Twitter.
Yeah.
And in football season, I like consume it voraciously. Yeah. Twitter is made for
sport. It really is.
Yeah. Football you know, like my wife was saying, like reality shows.
Don't watch them.
No, and. Award shows like the Oscars or the VMAs or whatever.
Bad for politics, though.
Bad for politics.
Just annoying.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably kick out the rest of this growler, my friend.
All right. Well, with that, we'll say hook up with us on social media. Tell us what you want to see from this season. make sure you get your money's worth, which there's a bunch. And on Iowa.
Go Hawks.